You're listening to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. UN expanding camps near Mosul as 300,000 people flee. We joined on the line by Bruno Guedo, who is the UNHCR representative in Iraq, speaking to us from Baghdad in Iraq. With regards to the particular story that has developed. We welcome Bruno to the Airways of Radio Islam. Bruno, good day to you and welcome to Radio Islam.
Thank you. Good day to you.
Thank you for joining us. The UN is expanding camps near Mosul. Can you update us on the exodus of Mosul residents leaving the fighting?
Yes. Residents of Western Mosul face a very, very tough choice. If they stay, they risk dying by way of sniper fire, shelling, mortar attacks, aerial bombing. If they try to flee, they equally risk dying by way of summary executions by ISIS with a policy of killing anybody trying to leave the territory, to flee from the territory of the caliphate, and otherwise snipers who are there on the roof to aim at anybody seen as trying to flee. We have heard harrowing accounts from the displaced people who reach our camp about the tremendously difficult choice they have to make. Those who came said, on balance, we prefer to risk dying trying to regain our freedom.
Yes, now, paint for us the picture of these people as they are, you know, leaving Mosul. Are people leaving with belongings or are they just leaving with clothes on their backs? What's the scene like?
The scene is quite dramatic. We received dozens of buses in Imam Al Alil, where we have our reception center, 20 kilometers south of the city. I was there yesterday again. I was there for 2 hours, and in the space of 2 hours, I must have seen at least two dozen buses. Buses carry people. People are fleeing in a rush. They are taking the opportunities offered to them to mitigate the risk of being found by ISIS. Therefore, many of them flee at night or in the early hours, sometimes during prayer time when the guard of the ISIS checkpoint is lower. Therefore, most of the time they come with the bare minimum that they could collect in a situation where planning was done at very short notice, because you don't know when an opportunity presents itself. Sometimes they wait for the Iraqi security forces to advance to the point where they can see them, and then at that point the Iraqi security forces themselves invite them to come out so that they can be granted safe passage. So it is a very situation.
We understand that the Tigris River runs through the middle of Mosul, and therefore some have to risk their lives to cross the river to reach safety. Is that correct?
The bridges were bombed, but the old bridge, Samar, is still passable on foot. And there was a time where residents of the old city were trying to cross the river by using the old bridge again, you know, during times where the ISIS guard was lower, and then they would reach Eastern Mosul, where they would remain with relatives or otherwise be transported to our camp. So every possible opening is exploited by the residents depending on their current location and the possibility to use a fairly safe route. Some are also using smugglers, those who inhabit locations which do not have obvious access to safety, smugglers, and pay them in order to undertake convoluted routes out of the city.
The UN Office for the Coordinator of Humanitarian Affairs said on Tuesday that a total of 392,000 people had fled their homes since the Iraqi government offensive to push the Islamic State of Iraq in the Levant from the city began in October last year. Some 94,000 have since returned home. Why do some return home despite it being a war zone?
Because Maslawis, the most of residents, are very proud people. They do not like to live in makeshift camps, even camps with, you know, international emergency standards. Life is very tough. There are security restrictions. So as soon as the situation improves, those who can make that choice, those who have something to fall back on when they go back to the city, definitely return. And this return movement is important because it also signals that in Eastern Mosul, the situation may be somehow stabilizing. What we see, what we advocate for, is for a strong police presence to avoid the proliferation of militias, because we also had cases of people who had returned, but then they had to flee again because they felt highly insecure due to the proliferation of militias in Eastern Mosul. Cases who return to Western Mosul, of course, are very rare, but in the southern part of the city, which is now far enough from the front line, some of them, some families have also returned. It shows you how determined they are to resume an ordinary life. Those who are very poor, on the other hand, I met again some of them yesterday, told us they cannot return simply because they have no job and they have no means to make ends meet, and their houses have been completely destroyed. So there is also this kind of situation.
Now, Bruno, staying with the issue of returning, what will happen, as you predict, perhaps after the war, after the fighting stops and ISIL is hopefully removed? Will those in the camps go back to Mosul, or by then will there be nothing to go back to?
Again, Mosul has been one of the largest humanitarian crises, definitely the largest in an urban environment since at least a quarter of a century. So we are advocating, we have raised, as you know, development agencies and humanitarian agencies, significant funding for stabilization, and that is what will help stabilize the city, meaning retrieving, putting back into service the main basic services, so that the bare minimum in terms of security and in terms of amenity is granted. People will return, even if there is no, to date, a comprehensive political settlement, if the basic services and minimal security are guaranteed. And this is what the stabilization funds are meant to secure, to provide.
Is the UN able to...
So big, so hugely important, that of course there will have to be equally important investment to secure a post-Mosul stabilization.
At the moment, is the UN able to deal with the huge numbers coming into the camps?
Yes, barely. Barely, but we are. We are building camps at a furious pace. We are putting up capacity for an additional 30,000 people in Amou Marali, south of Mosul, west of the Tigris, for an additional 60,000 people in Salamia, south of Mosul, east of the Tigris. This capacity will come online gradually, Amou Marali in the next 10 days, Salamia in the next 3 to 4 weeks. We are expanding camps in the east and in the northeast. Overall, we should still have a capacity to receive some 120,000 people in the next in the forthcoming weeks. So, you know, capacity is increasing, but of course we are very anxious, because if the entirety of the estimated 400,000 people still residing in the whole city were to come out in a flash of flow, it would be a major disaster.
Yes, certainly we hope that would be averted and that the situation can be resolved as soon as possible. We appreciate your time on Radio Islam. Bruno, thank you very much for chatting to us.
Thanks to you for joining us, for the moral support. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.